We're speaking today about walls and gates of safety. And the story continues. God's people returning from their 70 years of captivity in Babylon and the rebuilding of the temple, the re-establishing of the altar of sacrifice, and the ministry of the word coming to them again. And now there's the walls and the city gates of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. This entire story is like a second exodus of Israel coming out of captivity the first time from Egypt and entering into the land. But with this re-entering, it took many long years, just like the first exodus, and it spanned the reigns of three kings in Babylon and Persia, with many delays and disruptions because of the enemies in the region. Zerubbabel had led the first wave of returning exiles out of Babylon, and some years later was the arrival of Ezra, the rebuilding of God's word. But the walls had not been restored. There weren't the gates and walls of safety and security for God's people, and they were still open to enemy attack. So now God sends Nehemiah to return from Babylon to oversee the rebuilding of the walls and gates of the city. This was to be the final work needed for the reset and rebuilding of God's people as his witnesses to the nations. So we see again in this continuing story the parallels of Israel experiencing a reset after their world had come to a standstill, and the church today preparing to experience a reset just as our world has also come to a standstill in this global crisis we are living in today. Just as God moved the hearts of world rulers and intervened sovereignly in history for his people under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra, God now moves history for Nehemiah through the Persian king Artaxerxes to finish the rebuilding of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. He uses these unlikely allies to fulfill his promises of restoration for his people. And God has done this down through the ages, and I believe is doing it today. It was the task of Nehemiah to see both the restoration of the walls and the rebuilding of the gates of those walls. And we read about it in Nehemiah chapter 1. And Nehemiah speaks to the king and says, "Those who are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is still broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." The lack of walls around the exiles who had returned from captivity after all of those years in Babylon and had been back in Jerusalem for the last few years meant that without walls they were living an unprotected life, in the sense that they were allowing alien and sometimes hostile influences from the outside world around them to bring confusion into their lives. It also meant that they allowed themselves to wander out into the surrounding regions where corrupt cultural values and practices caused many of them to be enticed into an ungodly lifestyle. And we read that in Nehemiah chapter 2. And Nehemiah speaks to the people and says, "You see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us go back and build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build." Nehemiah returned, and he had to teach the people how to build and how to fight the enemy at the same time. And the enemy's tactics were sometimes subtle, sometimes brutal. They were being discouraged, and their values were being despised and mocked. There was a man called Sanballat who was one of the leading adversaries of Israel's return and rebuilding, and he was continually conspiring to hinder the work. And he spoke these words of derision about the work of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, we read this: "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing?" He scoffed. "Do they think they can build the wall in a day if they offer enough sacrifices? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Then I prayed, 'Hear us, O Lord God, for we're being mocked. For they've despised you in despising us who were building your wall.'" So we built the wall, for the people had a mind to work. This same thing happens to God's people today. And God wants us, his people, to maintain rule over our spiritual and natural lives and to rebuild the walls and gates of safety and security around our souls and minds. God is giving us spiritual authority in these days, I believe, through faith in his word and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. We are challenged in the scriptures to maintain this work with this authority. Proverbs 25 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Notice in that prayer that Nehemiah, when he prays to God, calls the wall your wall. The wall of faith that we build around us is God's wall of safety and protection. They also had a challenging problem with all the broken down rubble left around from the old wall. And again in Nehemiah chapter 4, it speaks about the leaders beginning to complain. It says the leaders began to complain that the workmen were becoming tired and there was so much rubble to be removed that we could never get it done by ourselves because of all the rubbish. Now this can speak to us of the brokenness and vulnerability that our lives have suffered, that our walls have been broken down. But that's where God shows his miracle-working power to redeem all things in our lives that have been broken down. Satan tries to get us spiritually and emotionally fatigued by us walking around in our minds in the rubbish of our own past mistakes or failures. Our souls can become emotionally fragmented and our minds overcome with negativity and stress. These blows can turn healthy, solid pieces of building blocks into rubble. The spiritual building blocks that God builds into our lives make up the many diverse aspects of who we are. And the good news is that God takes all of those experiences that we've had in the past that may have been destructive, and he turns them into fresh opportunities to look at the situation his way, and that those things are used to bring new stones into being. The Holy Spirit waits to show us what God is saying in these experiences. He builds our wall. He rebuilds our wall. He surrounds us. Self-destructive attitudes of fear can be changed into healthy attitudes of faith when they're placed in the safety of God's walls of refuge. Psalm 32 and verse 7 says this, "You are my place of refuge. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." Nehemiah took all the rubble and recycled it into building material, just as God does with our lives. And even the dust and dirt and gravel was mixed with clay to make mortar for the stones. God won't waste a thing. God turns our weaknesses into strengths to bind our wall together and to strengthen his wall for our lives. Nehemiah and all the people finally completed the work and rebuilt the walls and the 10 gates that had been destroyed and burnt down. The gates were where the elders of the city sat and made decisions for the government of the city. There are gatekeepers around all of the gates. And there is an individual gatekeeping ministry for us that we can each exercise in our coming in and going out through the spiritual and natural gates of our lives in this world in which we live, in this critical moment in time. Having walls and gates does not mean living a life cut off from the world. It does not mean exclusivity, but it does mean selectivity. When we look at the names and the nature of the 10 gates that were rebuilt, we can see a spiritual application in them for finding wisdom as to what do we carry through our spiritual gates? What do we allow to go out through our gates and to come into the gates of our lives? How do we live at the gates as good gatekeepers? And we can also find that God gives us gatekeeping occasions for helping others in their gatekeeping management decisions as well. The 10 gates were in order. Let me read to you the order of the gates. There was the sheep gate. Then came the fish gate, then the old gate, then the valley gate. Then there was the refuse gate. You can call that the garbage gate. After that was built the fountain gate, then the water gate, then the horse gate, then the east gate, and finally the gathering gate, where people met together by appointment. Let's look at an example of a few of these gates. Some speak for themselves and only need a brief mention, but they are all important as to what we let into and out of the walls of our lives, spiritually, and sometimes naturally. The sheep gate, well, that is the first real experience, I believe, of our lives. It was for me, at least, in meeting the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, for my life, for the forgiveness of sins, for his mercy. That's a gate that I can revisit every day and be refreshed in the knowledge of his mercy, and also become his sheep that hears his word and follows him. That is one of the most often visited gates in our lives. Then there's the fish gate, and that speaks of the word of Jesus to his disciples to make fishers of men. And there are different ways that God uses us to be able to, with our experience as being his sheep, as knowing the Lamb of God, being able to encourage those that have no hope and answer for them the hope that we have in our lives through the Lord. The Holy Spirit can speak to them and bring them through this fish gate, in through the walls of safety, into the kingdom of God. The old gate speaks of the established ways of God that never change in guiding our paths and the foundations that we have in our lives. We revisit those things. That's a gate we go to often. In Jeremiah chapter 6, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it," where we rediscover truths as we meditate in his word and go deeper and find things that God has been speaking through the ages to his people of faith, especially at this time when he has much to say to all of us. The valley gate came next, and that speaks of going through the valleys of grief and suffering in our lives. We go through this and it may seem lonely, but we can be there also. Join with others at that gate and bring comfort and find the Lord's comfort together in those valleys. And then there's the refuse gate, the garbage gate. Remember what I said earlier, that Satan tries to get us to spiritually and emotionally come under fatigue through us walking around in our minds in the rubbish of our own past mistakes or failures. We get rid of that at the garbage gate. We guard that gate from the garbage that would try to come in from the outside. So we see that the gates are for things going out and things coming in. Sometimes we close a gate on things coming in. And that can be in the natural and in the spiritual. There are things that we don't let into our lives. Say, that's not good for my mind. That does not edify my soul or my spirit. That's garbage. Keep it out. And there are things that we have in our own imaginations that we can say, I don't need these negative thoughts in my life. That's garbage. Take it down to the garbage gate. What that prepares us for is for the fountain gate being rebuilt. And that speaks of allowing the fountain of living water to spring up from our innermost being. In John chapter 7, verse 37, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he said these words about the Holy Spirit when he said those who believe in him were to receive this fountain of living water flowing from within. This is the powerful flow of the life of his Spirit. And that is a gate that we stand at and manage by faith to release that flow of his Spirit. For for our own lives and also for the building up of the lives of others, to touch their lives with the Spirit of God. Then there was the Watergate. Now, the Watergate is the actual cleansing of our spirit from the water of His Word. He speaks to us in this way, and He says He wants to sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the Word. Then we have the horse gate. The horse gate's an interesting one. It speaks of the power that we have in spiritual warfare. Because remember, when Nehemiah had them to rebuild the gates and the walls, he had to not only teach them to build, he had to teach them how to fight the enemy, because there was continual enemy oppression. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "And I will make them like the powerful horse in battle." So when the enemy comes, when there is oppression, we take a place of confidence that the Lord is fighting for us. We're His horse in the battle. In Job chapter 39, it speaks about this battle horse, and it says, "The battle horse laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, 'Aha!'" So we need to know that the enemy is more afraid of you than you are of him. Be confident. Say "aha" when you're going into battle. Then there's the east gate. In Ezekiel, the gates are mentioned, the original gates. And the east gate faced towards the direction of the Mount of Olives, looking for the coming of the Lord in the end times. And this is something that we can have in our hearts, that attitude of waiting for the Lord. And that gate was actually sealed shut until the Lord returns. It had bars and fixtures to hold it in place shut. So we're in a time, I believe, of being prepared. Always in our hearts saying, "Lord, in these times of travail that the world is going through, prepare us for your return, that we would be ready if it so happens that you come." And then finally, there's the gathering gate. And this speaks of the calling together of the gathering of God's people. Now, this is a current experience that we're being challenged with and have been over the past months, of experiencing this COVID safety challenge to the keeping of this gate, of being able to gather together in these times in which we live. But nonetheless, the Bible says, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be," in Genesis chapter 49. We maintain our gathering together, even if we cannot physically always gather. We gather through our daily prayer and remembrance of one another. We remember one another in our hearts. There is communication. There is the knowing that we live within these walls of safety together, with one another and for one another. In Nehemiah chapter 6, it speaks about the wall being finished. And it says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. That's not a long time. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem." They saw something of a far higher value, something being lifted up, a virtuous thing happening, a godly thing. And the scripture goes on to say, "knowing that this had been the work of God for his people." As I said, 52 days is a very short time. But to see in Nehemiah chapter 3 the names of all the people in there helping one another, I gave up counting them. We are to be like them, there with one another, for one another. It is an attitude of being beside each other in prayer and care and in warfare and in willingness to help in whatever way we can, so that just as it was said of them in those days, it will be said of us. What was said about them was, All the nations saw them rebuild the gates and knew that this was the work of God. It is our lives together here on earth revealing that there is a God in heaven. Let's continue in our daily prayer for one another. In each day that we work together, rebuilding the gates and walls, that we are revealing a living God in the heavens, that people will know that it's His work. The Lord bless you all. Amen.